valid voters from the 9 constituencies above voted for the candidate who placed second. The total number of votes he would garner would be 5,604,420, representing 46.17% of the total valid votes, which would have been 12,138,538. The inclusion of the outstanding constituencies would have given the leading candidate 52.13%, which is still greater than the 50% plus one required to be declared a winner. And so even with that scenario, he's clearly the winner of the 2024 election. In the light of the above, ladies and gentlemen, I have the singular honor as the returning officer of the 2024 presidential election to declare His Excellency John Dramani Mahama as the winner of the 2024 presidential election and the president-elect of the Republic of Ghana with a total percentage of 56.55%. Congratulations, sir. It is finished. Thank you very much.
Seven FM.
Joy 99.7. Joy
Ejumapa, Kunimde, Adareba.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his funky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Sharp! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga. And manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Hooray! The Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is organizing its end-of-year furniture promotional sales from the 15th of November to the 31st of December this year. Kingdom Books and Stationery is giving away a whopping 10 to 15% discount on all furniture at our furniture shops. Head office, Akweji, Osu near the Osu Cemetery, Tema, Komti 4, Takrady, opposite Fijai Maze Plaza, Cape Coast University Bookshop, Spintex Road near Absa Bank, Atomic, Center Point Mall, Winneba, University Campus, KNU USD, the University Bookshop, Santasi in Kumasi. You can also visit and shop online at www.kingdomstoreonline.com. Hurry while stock lasts. For further inquiries, contact us on 050-162-0810 or 0302-764101 or email us at info@kingdomgh.com. Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited, where quality and affordability is assured. Terms and conditions apply.
Dear Tratwo, a son say your bush young years from Quintino. You can't say your pepso dent, you didn't also a can your money.
Hey, woman, we could hear him wo, no he wole, washre, nana no ne, wakaba.
Hey, I am poor. Oh, didn't that so?
One so bit me do dinga to president to Busia Park no so. But we busia say who buy more who do. For when each rest to a bear war, not come to president to Busia Park. Every year, check your dinkrat to yet to move.
Ghanaians voting for the NDC, because we just had a conversation earlier that what makes our elections a bit more of the problematic end is that it's always close. The difference is not that huge. And in 2016, when we're talking about a million or 900,000, some said it was unthinkable. This is almost doubling that number. But I'm also looking at something else that's also being getting my attention all through, that's making this particular victory quite pronounced, and it's to do with the Evans Mercer percentages involved. Going back to the years, yes, Rawlings did 58, 57, 1992, 1996, but we discount those years because we know why. Since that period, it was during John Kufuor's runoff. That's the not the main election, but runoff of 2000. That 56.90 is higher than this one. But we can discount a runoff. So if you take it out, there is no single year that we've had an election in the Republic of Ghana of this magnitude, in a presidential election, where anybody, and forget about the outstanding nine, anybody has gotten anywhere near the 56.55. That is how outstanding this. In fact, if we're wrapping up this, as is approximating it, we'll be discussing 57 percentage points. Here, this is very huge. No wonder it's reflecting in the almost 1.6 million.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not almost. More than 1.6
million. More than 1.6 million. We're still 9 constituencies outstanding. If you are NDC today, you'll be elated. Mm. But you also be thinking, what exactly did we do to warrant this? This is legitimacy at the highest level. This is a total declaration of the people that we don't want one, and you are the one that we want in this instance. Again, you mentioned the turnout and the differences in there. When Rawlings was making those huge numbers, the turnout was quite low. In fact, it was around the same percentage in this case, even in the year 2000. But I am still shocked by the 56%. In fact, if we put the rest together and it goes higher than this 56% and inches towards 57%, it will be a resounding victory. Many would have thought that as democracy advances, people don't give these resounding victories to people because they do believe that others ought to also participate in the system. But this is quite strange, a reflection of massive anger. What we have seen is that when NPP people told themselves, I'm not going to waste my time voting out in this election.
Mm.
There are places where the NDC's votes are slightly increased or the same, but in the case of the NPP, they've lost sometimes, say, Dominic Abinya, from 75,000 votes, when she had reduced by 10 percentage points to 50,000 votes in this election Michael Quay got.
Yeah.
That is 25,000 more people. I'm not even adding the fact that by elections we increase in numbers for the next election and that 80 million people register for this one. I'm saying 25,000 Ghanaians.
Well, I mean, in that constituency, Akufo-Addo got 78,000.
Imagine.
Yeah. That was even more than that.
More than that.
Yeah.
See, almost 30,000 people in Dominico Abinya said, I don't care about your election. I'm not participating in it. That should be a worry to many of us in this country. It's a damning verdict on our democracy, but it also shows that this 56.55 is a resounding victory that, regardless of how you look at it, is a massive endorsement of John Dramani Mahama and a signal to the NPP. And I'm not just saying this is all about President Akufo-Addo. There's something to be said about how Bamia only garnered 41%. That is an extremely low for an NPP candidate in presidential elections of this
especially sort. When our analysis have said that when NPP wins election, they tend to win it by a huge margin.
A huge margin.
Compared to the NDC.
Indeed, if you take our Rawlings, this is the biggest showing that the NDC has ever made.
And Prof, if you put it in context, whilst Raymond makes the point about this is the biggest showing, 2016, JM was also, in terms of the margin of defeat, had managed to claw in an unwanted record, which is the guy with the biggest margin of defeat.
Mm-hmm.
He has flipped it completely on his head over two terms of the Akufo-Addo MPP administration. There's a lot to be said about this comeback. If you ever thought, and this is just talking generally about life, you ever thought that life was over for you? JM tells you that sometimes you can make a comeback.
And
you did not just come back, you can come back big time.
If you look at the years that you have mentioned that we've had low voter turnout, 2000, 2008, 2016, 2024, they have all been the completion of the second term of an incumbent government.
Yeah.
And those POS have always been our 10 over POS. So if you look at 2000, there was our first 10 over, 2008, second 10 over, then 2016, and then now 2024. Mm. And basically, it speaks to a whole lot of things that people usually get fed up with the performance or the track record of the incumbent in their second term. But also, it has to do with the kind of campaign that you also put up. Even if people are fed up with the incumbent government and you do not campaign well based on policies and have a superior strategy, it becomes very difficult. In 2016, we were saying 2016 was the first turnover, in our third turnover, that we didn't go run off. And we said Akufo-Addo won with close to a million.
Close to a million votes. Yes.
Now, JM has spoiled the record at all. You see, because he is also winning first round with 1.6, even minus 9 constituencies.
Yeah.
And the number of parliamentary seats is overwhelming. So I think this is a complete destruction of the MPP and the MPP campaign machinery. And I think it will take them several years to recover. But what it also means is that the NDC also have to be very careful, because when you are given this kind of overwhelming mandate,
expectations,
a lot of expectations is required.
And you make such an important point, because I go back, and you always need to go back to the history to learn a bit more about what is happening now. When Nana Addo won the 2016 elections, the expectation was in the stratosphere. He had gotten this overwhelming mandate, and everybody was looking forward to something magical.
Yeah.
And that, and when you raise people's expectations and they give you this mandate, you also expect a lot. To whom much is given,
much
is expected. The key question then becomes, and there's something about John Dramani. I want to go live to the Electoral Commission's headquarters now, because my colleagues are having an exclusive conversation with Madam Jean Mensah.
Conduct even more transparent elections. We go back to review our systems, our processes, to look at the lessons learned, to look at what worked well, what didn't work well, because it's a whole process, and it starts, as you know, from the registration exercise of voters. And so we're looking at, you know, the whole chain to see where we can, what we can do better, and to ensure that we continue to deliver elections that, you know, uphold the will of the people as expressed at the polls.
And you will assist other African countries in doing so?
I'll be very happy to do that. I'll be very happy to do that. Thank you very much.
Ma,
last one,
Wadia. You mentioned that you're looking forward to improving the processes even more. And there'll be time to talk about that. There'll be time to talk about what went wrong and the challenges this year, and how do you make it better and improve on it for the next elections. We've always done that as a country, and that is what makes our democracy strong. But coming back to a point I was making, and Prof, I'm staying with you on this. You watched JM's body language when we went there for that live shot of him seated. He was very calm. Even after the declaration, everybody was all about him. The wife was trying to drag his hand. There was a sense that you get, just reading his body language. And because I've been there before, this is, it feels a sense of responsibility more than a sense of jubilation.
Yeah. So generally, he's a humble character. And even when he's overwhelmingly, sorry, when he wins overwhelmingly an election, maybe he will still have to be humble. But largely because of what you've mentioned, he's been there, he's been one thing you expect about him in his second term is the fact that all the lessons that he has learned in his last administration, he has been given an opportunity to right the wrongs and to set a legacy. Unlike other presidents, you finish your term, you go and say, oh, if I had the opportunity, I would have done A, B, C, D. But in his case, he has been in government, he has been in opposition, and he has been given another mandate. So he has a lot to do. So he's looking at deeply what Ghanaians are expecting from him. And I tell you, Evans, if you look at the kind of economy and the challenges Ghanaians are going to, the expectations are so high. And maybe that's why he's looking at how he's going to start. And also, he's inheriting an economy that will not be able to support the expectations. The challenges that the economy, the state of everything now is in a complete mess. So how is he going to reconcile the level of expectations and the state of economy that is left to him? So I think basically when he's looking at all these things, he will be very humble in celebration and see how he can not only set record and do the right things, but also create an opportunity for his party to continue. And remember in 2016, it was the same thing. He was finishing Actually, his party was doing two terms, and he was doing his first term. And because of the two-term differences, they didn't give him the opportunity to continue. In this case, he's doing one term, and his party at most will have to do two terms. So that's also another break. So there's a lot that is going through his mind right now. And I think that is what is humbling him, rather than he waiting and making noise and then shouting.
And Winston, that is an important point, isn't it? And we are awaiting his acceptance speech. We're going to be reading a lot into what he says, whether he appreciates this moment. Of course, it wouldn't have dawned on him just yet how massive this is. It would take some time. But I think one thing that will not be lost on him, knowing his own track record and the experiences he's had, is that this is a weight on his shoulder more than anything else.
You see, in a country where we make promises, election promises, without sometimes calculating how much it would cost us and where we will get the monies from, when you win an election, it dawns on you then that, whoa, I have a lot to do. Because one, in 14 days, we'll be asking John Mahama, where is the list of your cabinet ministers? In the first 120 days, we'll be asking John Mahama, where is the national dialogue that you promised? This is it, and I agree that he would need some time to fix some of the problems we're faced with.
The challenge with him is he hasn't got time.
Yes.
Everybody else had first term, second term.
Yes.
He has one.
Yes, but if within that period, the country, the economy shows prospects, shows signs, proper signs of recovery, people will look at it and say, he's done it as part. But if within that period, the economy sinks further, people will look around again and say, this is not what you promised us. And that is why I say, it's good that he's talking about a dialogue. Because one of the things we haven't done so well in this country is the participatory nature of our development. We assume that once the government...
Winston, just a second. I want to take you back there live to the EC's HQ, where Dr. Mani Boama, who managed elections for the NDC, is speaking to the media.
Theft under CCTV or biometric devices, missing devices, serious discrepancies in the electoral register, all the way to even D-Day, people still will find it difficult to locate their names in the register. However, at a point, we decided that it is the commission that has been mandated to conduct the elections. So, whilst we put them on their toes, let's also continue to campaign. Let's put in place the checks and balances. Let's intensify our eagle eye approach so that we will be able to block all the tricks that could have been used to steal the mandate of the people. Fortunately, we were successful. One of the last interventions was our uncovering of massive ballot papers in Kwadaso in the Ashanti region. Just imagine if those ballot papers, estimated at almost 500,000, had entered the ballot boxes in Ashanti region in favor of the MPP. The MPP would have today been talking about over 1 million votes in Ashanti region as the gap between the MPP and the NDC. But thanks to our eagle eye and uncovering of that deadly illegal ballot in a home, today the gap between the MPP and the NDC in Ashanti region is 600,000 plus. The question is, what has the MPP been doing over the years in Ashanti region? It is obvious the MPP is not as popular in Ashanti region as we have always been told. Check the intervention of uncovering over 500,000 ballot papers and the precipitous drop in the votes of the MPP in Ashanti region. It tells you something has always been amiss. And we are grateful that through intel, we were able to uncover this. There are several steps to be traversed in order to enhance credibility of our electoral processes. And we believe that the commission will not go and rest and wait for another 4 years only to come back and repeat the mistakes that led us into this election. We will prefer that the Electoral Commission of Ghana immediately begins the reforms that are needed, that are necessary to deepen our democracy.
The commission is parting itself for conducting what they describe as the most credible, free and fair and transparent elections. Is that the same vibe you are getting as you prepare to lead the country from 2025?
I prefer to state that we have been extremely vigilant. Elton, we sent over 1,300 people, okay, into Ashanti region. We sent several others to other places that evidence demonstrated that the MPP was colluding with some members of the commission to steal. Okay? So yes, the outcome has been great for us and we've won. The question is, but for those interventions, what would have happened? Who printed the 500,000 or more ballot papers? Who printed them? You understand? As we speak, we do not know who was holding that particular ballot paper or ballot papers that led to the reprinting of the Eastern and Western region ballot papers. You think that if that person was NDC, the person's name would not have been put out there by now? We demand to know. And as I said, power is transient. And we believe we will know. Because until we get to the bottom of these nefarious activities, democracy will continue to be just selection because people clandestinely will collude with people who have been put in lawful authority and cheat citizens, steal their mandate from them. Can you imagine if we had not been ultra vigilant and the MPP had won this election? The impunity that we would have witnessed in our country, that notwithstanding the fact that the bonds of pensioners, the bonds of citizens had been taken away from them, reduced to paltry sums, you still voted for us, when actually it would have all been because of ballot stuffing. So the commission should not be patting itself on the back just because of our ultra vigilance that we show. The EC chair, for instance, alluded to opening up IPAC to the media. Go to my Facebook page and check whether I had not requested for the opening up of that particular IPAC meeting. I had. So it was demand-driven. It was not supply-driven. Ask yourself, when we requested to meet the commission and we were demanding that the commission should allow the media to cover, did they do that? So instead of they taking credit for the things that they have been forced to do, we rather expect that they will have deeper introspection so that going forward, we will be able to have an Electoral Commission of Ghana that is truly responsive to the needs and concerns of Ghanaians. I'll give you an example. Today, we are talking about pink sheets flying around. Okay? Ask Dr. Bosman whether I did not call him and demanded that for the pink sheet that were not going to be used, the presiding officers should cross them and write counsel. Ask him whether they sent that authorization. If they had done that, do you think people, criminals, would have gotten access to those pink sheets and be using them like that? Because they refused it. Ask them. We demanded for the Excel formula that was even going to be used to calculate the final results. Ask them whether they ever produced it. So there are more issues, and I wouldn't have expected that
Madam Chairperson will go praising herself or praising the commission for the thing that we have basically had to force it on them. We have a brighter future ahead of us as a people, as a determined I people. We expect that going forward, the commission lives above board. Fortunately, we have President Mahama going to be sworn in on January 7. You know him. He's not somebody who is going to be influencing institutions to do his bidding. He is a Democrat par excellence. And so you can expect that institutions will begin to work. And that is why institutional reform is also very, very critical.
Just final question for me, though. You've been in government before, and I know that from today the transition teams will begin to work. What do you expect from the MPP now that they have days, weeks to leave office? What do you expect them to do before the NDC take over in January?
That the MPP will recognize the fact that there's a government in waiting. Ghanaians have demonstrated clearly that, look, they were a sham of a government. This outcome, over 1 million gap, is a repudiation of the Akufo-Addo Bawumia MPP government. That being the case, we expect them to, if they have not finalized their handing over notes, finalize them. And in finalizing handing over notes, there is a reason this period is called a transition period. We do not expect them to be unnecessarily, okay, incurring expenditures or signing contracts that will be binding the incoming John Dramani Mahama, Nana Akufo-Addo-Dramani government. And we also expect financial institutions not to be honoring such obligations that the government will be placing on them. We expect them to ensure that we have a peaceful transition. We expect them to also ensure that just as we all stayed in the country for accountability purposes, President Mahama stayed in the country, I stayed in the country, my colleagues, we all stayed in the country for the past 8 years, and we were ready and willing to account for our stewardship. We expect them to do the same, because Operation Recover All Loot will be a reality. It will not be a mirage. There are teeming unemployed youth who came out in their numbers and voted massively for President John Dramani Mahama. They can be rest assured that a 24-hour economy will be implemented to provide them with decent, well-paying jobs. And so, hope is coming. Hope is here. Hope has been declared as the president-elect. Let's listen to the man who is coming to reset our country tonight at 7 p.m. You're welcome.
We just finished interviewing you.
And that there is the Dr. Manibama, is the Director of Elections for the NDC, just speaking to us there about what you can expect, but also already touching on the transition process that will happen and the warnings to the incumbent government, what they can and cannot do. The reality is that the presidency remains president until the midnight of, in fact, until the swearing-in, is it not, of the new president. And so that is an important point. We know that sometimes between this period, questions are what can you reasonably do if you are anticipating a new government taking over? What would you hold back from doing? But nothing stops the president from acting because he's still the commander-in-chief. There'll be time for that discussion, but let's go back to what we've heard there already. We are anticipating and expecting John Dramani Mahama to be delivering his acceptance speech, and I'm going to take a seat now as we look forward to that. Coming up pretty shortly. But Winston, you were speaking before we went to take this live declaration. We were analyzing John Dramani Mahama's body language and the expectations and the weight on the shoulder. He seemed to appreciate this. And I was making the point earlier that he is the only man in this country who understands what Dr. Bawumia is going through. Because this is actually also interesting. that over time, Ghanaians keep punishing the incumbents who fail, who create economic turmoil, who then last time, and there's something that we did a long time ago, linking IMF programs to election outcomes.
Anytime you do it in your second term,
yeah,
you're out.
It has a very direct correlation with that. The last time we went, it happened. And each time we had gone is worse when we were going. At this time, it went, you know, on life support. And Ghanaians consistently have said, at least now the trend shows, that if you take us to the IMF again and it happens in your second term, you're going to punish him, punish you severely. John Mahama understands this. But he knows he is going to inherit an economy still with the IMF.
Perhaps even ask for extension.
And ask for extension. And he seemed to appreciate that, at least his body language says it. But his acceptance speech must now communicate that very clearly, in very clear terms, that he appreciates what he's about to inherit.
Look, and in part of the 120 days contract with Ghanaians, he's talked about the dialogue. And I have indicated that one of the things we don't do so well in this country is, you know, engage in participatory development, because everybody thinks that a government comes into office and the government determines, and so people have defined politics to mean, Professor Adams of Gimpa, for instance, said, you know, winning power, then determining what people want, so they vote for you.
Determining what they want.
Exactly. That's what politicians do. They decide what you need to vote for them, and then they give it to you. This is the departure I want to see. And so Mahama is talking about having this dialogue. He did it with the Senchi. He's talking about having a dialogue, and this is in his first 120 days. The dialogue should show where we want to go as a people, what all of us are prepared to sacrifice. Because if we want to turn this thing around, we must be prepared to sacrifice. Mm. It mustn't only be the people outside the political class who sacrifice, because in this country, consistently, we have said, let's bite the bullet. While we're biting the bullet, a man who is advocating the biting of the bullet has no bullets and has no biting. So this time around, we
tighten
need to...
Tighten the belt.
And that man who is advocating tightening of the belt...
Doesn't even have belt hold.
He doesn't have belt hold, so he doesn't tighten anything. Like we stated, having been president before and having been voted against and not seeking re-election, John Mahama has nothing to lose.
True.
This is the time to build a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I say Ghanaians should at least, let's hold on. And I'm happy Bamia talks about not being a disruptive opposition, even though he would hold government accountable. Let's offer solutions. Let us not be, the country where you go into opposition right from day one, you are criticizing and condemning everything a government does. You must offer your support, because someday, and the evidence will show that, look, we will come back here, we'll come back again here if we all have life. If not in 4 years, in 8 years, mm-hmm. to be talking about changing government again.
Prof, an extension to his argument. You see, dialogue, participatory developmental process require honesty. You see, if you are a government and you are facing challenges, don't be in a state of denial. Be honest with the Ghanaian population. This is what we promise. This is the state of affairs. It may be difficult, or it may take time, or we need to adapt this approach. We've seen governments in this country who come, and when people are even telling them what they are going to, they think you are lying. Everything is fine. You are anti-what? You are opposition. They will find names for you. Sometimes they won't even allow you to face that. To the extent that people even don't want to talk about what they are going to do because of victimization. So honestly, we are human beings, and we have voted for you. And we believe that what you have preached you do is what has lured us into voting for you. Look, if you have problems addressing or achieving the objectives within specific timelines, be honest with Ghanaians. This is it. And we've seen that in the development world.
True.
Transparency in their government. Look, this is what is happening. So we are going to do A, B, C. We take these austerity measures. We'll do this. We can meet our deadlines. And people will bear with them. But here, they will deny it. The people expose it. This is what I'm going to. They say it's not true. But you are not going to what I'm going to do. So I think we have to reintroduce sincerity in our politics and be very transparent and be very open with challenges. And you see that Ghanaians will support you.
What you said, Prof, was the point I wanted to make. If John Dramani Mahama does not fix all of Ghana's economic problems, and I know any person with reasonable expectation in this country knows that he will not fix all of our problems. But if he's honest with the people, if he's truthful, if it's not politics as usual or business as usual, if he's not saying, oh, these are our problems collectively, then his appointees are riding along in our V8, misbehaving all over the place, wasting our resources, and doing the very things that people abhor. He will get support.
Mm.
There are things that people hate in this republic, and they have stated consistently. And not just people merely because they run around, they purport to wear military uniforms, like those who are claiming that they are taking whatever position they are taking now. Young men who have not done anything useful beyond campaigning, all of a sudden become rich people overnight merely because a party is in power. They get to own all of the houses, all the big places. People who were your classmates and were not the best of the best to start with are now doing everything. These are things that people would oppose, and let's not get it wrong. But if he departs from these ways, if you are not seeing the elements where you end up, you are going into a campaign, they are selling those, what's the name of those cars, the small ones that they, is it 2012 or 2016? Actually, I've forgotten the name of those. Yes, the small cars. They were sharing on campuses to girls. I mean, see, if those things do not happen, Ghanaians see and they can identify with the struggle. They know that you don't have a magic wand, but they will disrespect you if you show impunity to them. If you act as if you've gotten political power, so all of a sudden we have taken positions.
And
people who are of no relevance to state now become so powerful. They control the arms of the state. There's no rule of law in the country. When you do that, people see it. They all evidence that. And later on, they'll punish you for it.
And his biggest, as an individual. His biggest challenge will be how he walks this fine balance between satisfying the party loyalists who supported him, who expect something back, and meeting the expectations of the generality of Ghanaians.
Right.
But that is a reality. They would want something back. They supported you. They put in a lot of effort. They put in a lot of money and support for you. You need to straddle that very carefully. It comes down to the people he's appointing around him.
True.
To the various ministries, but also to those who are running his administration close to him.
Mm-hmm.
He tried that when he first came in after 2012 elections, where the likes of the Benjamin Malos and people applauded him for it, but they didn't last there because those hawks and those loyalists they fought him. that tussle will emerge again. His ability to straddle that and walk this fine line will redefine him, because if he keeps to just satisfying that, and that was Nanado's biggest flaw.
Mm-hmm.
He repays loyalty to the point of just
sacrificing
everything else. Everything else. And that is what has led him here. You have to spare a moment for John Dramani Mahama, because he will need to still satisfy those four groups.
Yeah, Evans,
people.
The choice
appears easy, but it isn't. Because you say, by just satisfying the generality of Ghanaians, you're fine.
No. You see, we even give them choices.
Briefly, because I need to go live to
the choices in the first place. Mm. John Dramani Mahama could have said, I know all the difficulties, I'm not coming back. You chose to come back. The people first must be your mantra.
Yeah.
If you put parochial, personal, and relational interests, it's your legacy you are destroying.
Yeah.
You have just one term. You're not seeking re-election in your own party. What you can do, Mahama?
You have nothing to lose.
Yes. Okay. It's for the first time, there can be a new leader.
I don't agree.
I don't agree. it's too easy to say.
Raymond, go on. You see, it's an investment. People have invested in his second coming. Right? But two, not just his legacy, but he's contesting on the ticket of the party. And the party have to self-sustain after him.
Hold on, guys.
In a minute, I need to cross over. So let's
wrap this up. We're talking about investments that people have invested, then there was no business voting the NPP.
Okay, sorry.
We will continue
on this conversation. Let's go live now to Maxwell, who is a resident of John Dramani Mahama, waiting his acceptance speech. He's speaking to Joyce Bahr Mukhtari.
You are the man. You are the man. You are whole vibe.
You are also the
whole vibe. It's almost as if we've probably been sharing like a compound.
I know, right?
But I'm sure you do know that it didn't come on the back. It wasn't easy.
True.
Serious work has gone into it. But today, We are grateful to the Almighty Lord. We thank God for this day. You know, I think someone said something interesting to me today, and that in 2016, Akufo-Addo told us very boldly that he had won by over a million votes, or close to a million votes. In 2020, he won by over a little above 400,000 votes. In 2024, the good Lord has added the 1 million, then the 400,000, then, and today, John Mahama has gotten way above the extra 1.4 million votes between the two gentlemen. And then the second thing is also the fact that he kept referring to John Mahama as a one-term president. Today, the good Lord has made it possible to secure a commanding second term for John Dramani Mahama. So for all of us who serve John Mahama, who have worked for him all these years, we are enormously grateful to the people of Ghana. You know, we don't take this lightly. And you can see that today, John Mahama is almost extremely calm. It is a very, very humbling experience. Boss, 56% and more. It has never happened before.
Once you are behind,
certainly not in this fourth republic. And I think that is phenomenal.
Yeah. Like you rightly said, many have described it as an emphatic, resounding, and a landslide victory.
Commanding.
Commanding, okay. A lot of adjectives.
More.
Okay. Tell me, does it put any burden, you know, on him as he prepares to take over the reins of government?
Maxwell, of course. Look, I'm sure all of us realize that there is a certain urgency to the matter. The country is literally bankrupt. We have a public debt of 760 billion. We have an exchange rate of close to 17 cedis. And let me tell you something that happened over the last few days. You know what's happening, that the cedi is actually stabilizing? So change is good. And I know that at the bottom of all our problems is a really, really, really terrible economy. If Mr. Mahama's modesty alone can be brought to bear on the challenges that are facing the cedi, I have no doubt in my mind that very, very soon things will definitely be improving. Look, I'm really elated. I'm excited. I'm humbled. I thank the good Lord that I am actually part of this historic event, this historic journey, this historic opportunity. And you know, I used to tell Mr. Mahama that all of our enemies are watching. Make no mistake. This is something that we need very, very, very badly. And today, to the glory of God, John Mahama is the man to beat. And Nana Jane Opokuagyeman making history as Ghana's very first vice president-elect, a female, no less.
He has a 120-day social contract with the Ghanaian people. And we've seen quite a number of things when it comes to that. One says that he would scrap the e-levy, the betting tax, quite a number of them within 120 days. You have talked about the challenges that, you know, is present now. Do you think it's going to be possible within 120 days?
You know, when the good Lord decides to bless you, he gives you all the material things that you need to ensure that blessing comes to fruition. Today, he has a commanding lead in Parliament, over 180 members of Parliament. So he has beyond the two-thirds that is required. And I am certain that two-thirds majority will be put to very good use. Don't forget that we have a constitutional review process that is pending. This is a great opportunity. To talk about all the nuisance taxes, this is a great opportunity. To talk about COVID, betting, e-levy, name it. This is a fantastic opportunity. And Ghanaians have told us that the acrimony of the hung parliament is something they don't want to see again. So this is actually a referendum on the failure of Akufo-Addo and Bawumia. And today, Bawumia represents the disgrace that Akufo-Addo has brought to a new patriotic party.
Finally, before you go, they say, elders say that when your neighbor's beard is on fire, you get closer to a water source. What lessons is the NDC picking from what has happened?
Maxwell, you know me. I think that all of us who serve JM try as much as possible to emulate him. Humility, respect for those who put you in office. Compassion. Give people their liberties and their freedoms. Be sure to lead by all means, but show compassion in your leadership. Be moderate, be decorous. Above all, respect the fact that it is the grace of God that brings you and puts you here. So I think that His grace is sufficient for us.
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all of you. God God bless you. Thank you, sir.
God bless you too. So I just heard from the spokesperson for the John Mahama campaign, Joyce Bah Mokhtari, speaking to us there. But the top brass of the NDC is here currently. The president-elect John Mahama should be arriving here at his party office in cantonments shortly, and he'll be addressing the nation at exactly 7 o'clock. But on the days here, you can see on my right hand side, we have the chairman of the John Mahama 2024 campaign, Professor Joshua Alabi, there having an interaction. Professor Joshua Alabi there, seated very close to him, is Samuel Ofosu Ampofo, former chairman of the NDC. Also in your shot is former chief of staff Julius Debra, also there on the dais. General Secretary Fifi Kwete also up there on the dais. And we can see the minority leader Kasiala Tuforsen. Let's get closer and have interaction with them. Seated closely to him is former Speaker of Parliament Edward Do Ajaho. Let's speak to the former Speaker of Parliament. He's not ready to speak at this point, but we also have former minority leader Haruna Idrisu here with us. Mr. Idrisu, you're welcome to join us.
You want me to stand?
Oh, no, you can sit. Feel free. You can sit.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell me, what is the mood like in the camp of the Andes?
Cautious ecstasy. Cautious ecstasy. We are very excited, but we know that given the state of the economy, Excellency John Dramani Mahama will inherit, it will be very challenging. And we have a duty to meet the expectations of the Ghanaian public, given the extraordinary votes and confidence they have reposed in him. He has to work to justify it with humility, with credibility, and more importantly, honor, and appreciate that he is governing for the people. But for me, the declaration of the 2024, the declaration of the 2024 presidential outcome manifests one important thing. Thank you. It manifests one important thing, that Ghanaians have said no to impunity, no to corruption, no to hardship and cost of living. So Excellency John Dramani Mahama have to be guarded and guided by it to ensure that he does not tolerate. So for me, zero tolerance for all the wrongs of the MPP must be the hallmark of the new Mahama administration. Zero tolerance for all the wrongs of the new Patriotic Party government of Nana Addo Dankwa and Bawumia. So family,
what do you say are some of the,
family and friends government, zero tolerance for it. Impunity, zero tolerance for it. Arrogance, zero tolerance for it. Corruption, zero tolerance for it. And then he must work to address unemployment, particularly youth unemployment, given the advantage that the 24-hour economy will bring. But his first Herculean task would be to stabilize the economy, and we pray that he would work to stabilize the Ghanaian economy. But we are cautiously excited. We are happy of the outcome of the results, but we are also aware that the task ahead is Herculean. But John Mahama will succeed. Given his background and experience, former president, he will hit the day running, probably even from today, but officially only when he gets a mandate of mid-90th January. He will hit the ground running.
You admit that it's going to be challenging. You say that it's going to be a Herculean task. Within the first 120 days, in fact, within the first 90 days, he said he's going to scrap what he describes as draconian taxes, the e-levy, the betting tax, and all of that. He's promised quite a number of freebies as well. How's he going to be able to do that?
Fortunately, he has absolute control of parliament. The numbers look quite good, quite comforting, and he can govern with ease. But fidelity to the Ghanaian people, fidelity to the law and the institution of parliament, he must ensure value for money
and he must exact accountability for the Ghanaian people, because justice emanates from the people. One of the most fundamental things he can leave as a legacy is holding New Patriotic Party government officials accountable and undertaking some minimal constitutional and administrative reforms that strengthens our public institutions to deliver the public good.
Finally, before I go, you talked about holding the New Patriotic Party, the governing New Patriotic Party, accountable.
Officials
accountable.
And his own officers too will be accountable.
Great. I want to find out from you, what are the top five scandals probably in this governing NPP government that you want him to tackle first?
This matter of Nkrumah as founding father is important, but that's administrative. You can't rewrite history. I expect that he will undertake an audit and investigation of COVID. He will undertake an investigation of the borrowing, which institutions were behind it, which persons were behind which persons were behind it, the borrowing, and who benefited from the borrowing, and what was the justification. Then a number of projects, no value for money. We expect him to do a re-evaluation of all that.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
You just heard from Haruna Idrisu. Haruna Idrisu is former minority leader. But we have the minority leader himself, Kassi Olatunfonse, here. Let's speak to him. Let's find out from him what he makes of the NDC's victory that many of them are describing as emphatic, resounding. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me, what is the mood like right now?
I feel good. I think it's obvious that the people of Ghana wanted a big change. And for me, I see this as the people's revolution. All said and done, the NDC needs to pick serious lessons from the outcome of the results. I see a country that is angry. I see a country where the citizens are demanding change from political actors and nothing more. And the status quo cannot be maintained. Going forward, hopefully beginning January 7th, the NDC will start the implementation of policies that will respond to the call from the citizens. That one I can assure you. His Excellency President John Mahama will address the nation in the next few minutes, and in doing so, he will lay out his plan and vision, and coming out from an election where the people have spoken in a way that you cannot avoid. I think let's wait for his speech, and going forward, subsequently, the formation of his government and the things we'll be doing going forward. But I can assure you that we'll be guided. The NDC will certainly be guided.
I've been asking a lot of non-finance persons this question, but I think your finance person is right that I ask you. John Mahama promised a lot of freebies in the run-up to the elections. He talked about scrapping what he described as draconian taxes, the e-levy. He talked about the betting tax, the mixing tax, and many others. A lot of Ghanaians are very expectant of that to happen within his first 120 days in the office. The question on the lips of many, how is he going to do that, especially considering that you've all admitted that the country is not in a good place economically. How are you going to be able to finance all of this?
I think it's a promise. It's a promise that he's made. And I can assure you that the first budget of the NDC will scrap the e-levy without a doubt. We are not going back on it. We'll scrap the e-levy. We'll scrap the betting tax. These two taxes will go during our first budget. We are going to present the budget maybe in the first 3 months, and some of these policies will be made known to the public. But I can assure you that we are not going to go back on our promise. His Excellency the President was emphatic, and he said it's going to happen the first 120 days. And there's a reason why he said the first 120 days. Simple put, is the first budget. So that's going to happen. We are not going to run away from that. It's a solemn promise from him to the people of Ghana. We're not running away from that.
Finally, did you expect these number of seats that you've won in Parliament? Did you expect that? I remember I spoke to the president-elect when he went to his hometown, Bole to cast a ballot, and I asked him the number of seats he's hoping the NDC will win. He said 150, something within 150, and possibly above that. How many seats were you eyeing, and what do you make of the number that you've won?
Our research pointed to something in the region of 160, 169. But we were quite conservative and pegged it to about 150. But today we have overwhelming majority. We have 186 confirmed seats, and it can be 188. Going forward, I think it is the will of the people. The ordinary Ghanaian has spoken. The people of Ghana has spoken in a way that is so clear for all of us to abide by. So we have 186 seats in Parliament. I wouldn't say we did not expect it. I was expecting something, as I said, 160, 169. But getting maybe 20 more seats in excess of that, we can only say thank you to the people of Ghana. And we are happy. We waged a successful campaign. We did well in our campaign. We were emphatic. We expressed what we were going to do clearly. Our manifesto was very open and clear, without ambiguity. And obviously, I can tell you for a fact that I think the people of Ghana bought into our manifesto and voted for us.
Finally, you know, it feels like a half glass, half full, half empty kind of situation. You are obviously an optimist looking at, you know, the benefits of that. There are some pessimists also who say that this is likely to turn Parliament into a rubber stamp.
I don't think so. It is up to the new opposition, the MPP, to position themselves and argue their case out. We never had majority. It was somehow a hung parliament with MPP majority of one. They were successful in pushing some of their things through. But we in the NDC was also able to argue some cases out and got them to back out. So they can. Based on if they decide to do their work well, they will be able to do, not allow the government to, get everything to go through just like that. So I wouldn't say that it's going to be a rubber stamp parliament. But I can only say that the people of Ghana has given the NDC a majority to be able to reset the country. Ghana needs an urgent reset. The status quo cannot continue. That is why we have this overwhelming majority with a big mandate. It is up to the NDC to use this majority well to benefit the people of Ghana. Nothing more, nothing less.
Thank you for talking to us. So you just heard Minority Leader Castle Atufosin there speaking to us. But in the last 30 minutes, we've had quite a number of people joining us here. Still on the days, you can see former Deputy Chief of Staff Valerie Sawyer there. You can see Kwame Agboja also there on the days. Former Finance Minister Seth Stepa is also here. General Secretary of the party, Fifi Kwete, is also here. But I've seen Seth Stepa, former Finance Minister Seth Stepa. Let's talk to him. Sir, you're welcome to join us.
Oh.
Tell me, what's the mood like for you? Mr. Tego?
Oh, it's quite ecstatic. I think it's a joyful mood here, and I believe that it is understandable. But there is, you know, when we, for those of us with our background, we also know the task ahead, the difficulty ahead. But nonetheless, I believe that there is an overwhelming, you know, confidence reposed, you know, in the president-elect, former President Mahama. Yes.
As a former finance minister, I think it's also right for me to ask you this. The main issue that played out in this election, obviously, was about the economy and what people were feeling, you know, in their pockets. John Mahama, once again, I've been asking this question over and over and again, but I still want to ask you. John Mahama has promised a lot of freebies. First-year students in our universities are not going to pay fees. He's promised to